वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैश्चिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामैहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। नमो ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे। नमो महाबदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरद्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता श्री राधा कांत नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 47 द सॉन्ग ऑफ द बी टेक्स्ट नंबर 66।
नमस्सभृत्य नः सूयुः कृष्णपादाम्बुजाश्रयः वाचोभिधैनिर्नामानां कायस्तत् ప్రవర్ణాదిషు మనసో వృత్తయో నశూయుః కృష్ణపాదాంబుజాశ్రయః వాచో భీదాయనైర్నామానాం కాయస్తత్ ప్రవణాదిషు మనస వృత్తయో నః సూయుః కృష్ణపాదాంబుజాశ్రయః వాచో భీదాయనిర్నామ్నాం కాయస్తత్ ప్రవణాదిషు. మనసః ఆఫ్ ద మైండ్స్, వృత్తయః ది ఫంక్షన్స్, నః అవర్, సూయుః మే దే బి, కృష్ణ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, పాదంబుజ ఆఫ్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్, ఆశ్రయః టేకింగ్ షెల్టర్, వాచః అవర్ వర్డ్స్, ఆది భయానిహి ఎక్స్ప్రెసింగ్ నామ్ నామ్ హిజ్ నేమ్స్ కాయః అవర్ బాడీస్ తత్ టు హిమ్ ప్రవణ ఆదిషు ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ బోయింగ్ డౌన్ అండ్ సో ఫోర్త్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: Nanda and other cowherd boys said, "May our mental functions always take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. May our words always chant his names. And may our bodies always bow down to him and serve him." Purport: The residents of Vrindavan were firmly convinced that even if they could not have direct association with their beloved Krishna, they would never be indifferent to him. They were always topmost pure devotees of the Lord. That's all. Purport is very short. First of all, I'd like to take your blessings, especially Radha Gopina Prabhu sitting here. As many of you know that yesterday His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu was, some devotee told me he was hunting for some speaker. And I had no idea, I just came from outside. So suddenly stopped in the corridor. And I was meeting him after a long time, so I thought maybe I should offer him some service. I said, "Anything I can do for you?" And he just cut my... And I couldn't refuse because I was thinking this chapter is high, you know, Song of Bees is the highest of all Bhagavatam topics. I said, praying to avoid this chapter. And it was going smooth so far, now the chapter is about to end. And suddenly caught me. And then he explained that how many devotees already approached and how they refused. Then I said, okay. And I've been trying since morning to speak something. Okay, I'll just try to do some service for my purification. So here the chapter is about to end. As we know, Uddhava, who is Krishna's brother, friend, advisor, basically a very intimate friend and very learned, educated. So he came to Vrindavan to pacify the Brajavasis who were in separation from Krishna. And in the process he understood that how exalted they are. And he stayed back for many months, understanding that only Krishna Katha can pacify these devotees. So he just kept speaking about Krishna. And because he was speaking about Krishna, therefore the time passed very fast, these few months. Otherwise, it is explained that Yuga Aitam Nimeshana, you know, it takes, when one nimis takes 12 years or something like that, in separation. So this time passed very quickly because he was constantly showering Krishna Katha. And in this way he was serving the Brajavasis. Now it's time for him to go back. So Nanda Maharaj and other cowherd, the elderly persons, they were sending him off and speaking many things. And today's verse, Nanda Maharaj actually speaking that how they remember Krishna even in his absence, basically. There is a saying in this world, out of sight, out of mind, isn't it? The moment somebody goes out of our sight, we forget. You know, few months back I was in my hometown and one of my school friends, he just happened to spot me somehow, I think through Facebook or something. He's a very good friend of mine, he used to be in school. Now he's an LIC or some kind of officer in LIC. So he told me we have a get together for our school batch. Would you like to come? I said, okay, I'll come. But I could hardly recognize any of them. But just those few who are my very close friends, of course I could remember them, three or four. But rest of the people, they knew me. They were coming to me. And many of them also didn't recognize me. One or two of them. Then what they did, they would bring all my friends. The sadhu has come, pay obeisances. They would be paying obeisances. So they would bring that I am the same, you know, schoolmate they were studying together. Anyway, the point is, we forget. Totally forget. So the real test of love is that even in absence, one doesn't forget. In fact, here we see the association of Brajavasis with Krishna is increasing. The more the separation, the association is increasing more and more. That is a true sign of love. But in the chapters we see what is happening is actually the Brajavasis are in constant lamentation, in miseries. So one may think, well, in this material world, I am in a miserable situation. Because even if in Golok Vrindavan we hear that Krishna goes to pasturing grounds and the village, those who are living, they are suffering because of separation. Right? And when Krishna comes back, then cowherd friends, they feel separation in the night time. That means suffering is there all the time. So one may wonder why to go to the place where suffering continues. You know, we are suffering here, then we will go to a place where the suffering is going on. What is the point? But there is a big difference. Lamentation in this world is basically because of bodily concept of life, because of lust, greed, anger and all those things. Here the suffering is because of lack of self sense gratification, basically. Our own gratification, when it is stopped, then there is lamentation, there is misery. So spiritual world, there is also suffering, but it is because of not being able to serve Krishna. So there is a fundamental difference actually. Sounds very simple, but it is far, 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 far apart. They're not the same thing. A totally different thing. It's completely apart. So to reach from here to there, that's no easy job. That's the toughest challenge. So when we speak these topics, there is a danger, there is a fear that we may try to identify the situation with our own situation, living and experiencing this material world. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada always stressed that we should study Bhagavatam from the first canto onwards. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually, Prabhupada explains many times, non-different from Krishna. Bhagavatam is actually Murti of Krishna in the form of words, divine words. And just like when we approach Krishna, we don't look at his face straight. You know, in this world, when we approach a big man, you know, it's very difficult to look at him straight in his face. Have you ever experienced that? Unless one is shameless and have no idea who that person is, we take little distance we keep before we actually approach him and actually start speaking to him. Some big shot, big guy, you know, like Ambani comes. You know, you just keep a little distance, little reserve, then gradually you approach in a very humble spirit. And then that person opens up. Similarly, when you approach Lord Krishna, it's not that we should go straight, you know. He's the Supreme Lord. We have to go in a very humble and gradual way from the lotus feet. Gradually, then we look at his face. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam also, we have to start studying from canto 1 and 2, is like lotus feet of the Lord. And there what we find in canto 1 and 2 is the life stories of the personalities who are facing calamities of this world. Isn't it? Like the Pandavas. Or in Narada Muni himself, what he all went through. The calamities basically. And from those calamities, the results is miseries basically. When you face calamity, the result is miseries. We may accept it or not, but misery is there. Right? One may say, okay, I'm aloof. Well, even if you're aloof, the misery will touch. How we take the miseries, that is another thing. Miseries, lamentation. So, it is explained that of course this miseries and lamentation is because of ignorance. So, lamentation itself is not ignorance. Lamentation is natural. When things goes wrong, calamities, problems, there will be lamentation. But what we do after that lamentation, that is called knowledge. If you just keep brooding over and over and over and just lose time, years, then we go deeper down and down in ignorance. Then there is depression and other things happen. One person fall apart from his duties. That is very horrible actually. But then, if one struggles to come out of the lamentation and reinstate oneself in his duties or her duties, whatever our duties, then that is knowledge basically. So in this world there is a constant struggle. So we'll speak a few stories from Canto 1 which you can relate to because living in this world. So I know it is explained how Mahabharata war ends. and Yudhishthira is actually the king. And then they performed this Shraddha ceremony for all the deceased. That's quite moving because, you know, so many people died in that war. You know, here it happens nowadays, but then 1% is, or 2% affected, or 10% is affected by somebody's death, and others go and pacify. But there practically everybody lost someone. So who's going to pacify whom? They're just lamenting over each other's shoulders, that's all. Crying. And Krishna is there in that situation. So it is explained, Krishna did not try to pacify them on his own, but he took the help of sages. Gaurangpur was explaining this chapter to us in Vidyapit. So he said, when you go to somebody's house to pacify when somebody leaves, then don't go alone. Take some devotees with you. Do kirtan, do some katha. So different people speaking, same thing, actually helps. So, but then, even in that situation, after so much of things have already happened, still, son of Drona, Aswatthama, he again shoots six Brahmastra. Five for the Pandavas and one for the embryo within Uttara's womb. So he did that. And that was the biggest of all calamities. So although the Pandavas are ready to face, but apart from Arjuna, none of them knew how to counteract that Brahmastra. It was supremely powerful within this material universe. But because their Kshatriya, they stood up facing it. And Arjuna could counteract only one. He can't counteract all six at a time. That was his limitation. He had the ability to counteract, but not six of them all together. Then Krishna understood the situation. But before that, Uttara sees a helpless lady, basically. Weaker person, they say, the fair sex is weaker. But whatever it is, although the Pandavas stood to face the weapons, being Kshatriyas, but she took shelter of Krishna. She just cried out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, something that verse is there. So, Srila Prabhupada says, it's not easy to take shelter of Krishna at the point of calamities. Because there are so many shelter available in this, so many false shelter available in this material world. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada quotes that, Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritin arjuna artho jigyasu artharti jnani cha bhartarsa. Like that. So, four classes of people who have done some sukruti. Sukruti means, krita means to do things. Kara, hands. So with our hands if you do good things, that is called sukruti. Pious. It is also explained, like there is a description about Narada Muni, that when he blessed Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj about to go to forest to perform tapasya, he tested him. Then he put his hand on his head. Narada Muni puts his hand on the head of small Dhruva Maharaj. And in that verse it comes that hand which has not performed any sins, Narada Muni, such a pure hand is placed on Dhruva's head. So, at that moment he was empowered to chant that mantra. And he succeeded, of course. So therefore, any spiritual path, not just pious credit, but that blessings of pure devotee is very much essential. Of course, we have seen during the initiation ceremony only itself, the Guru actually benedicts everyone, isn't it? everyone falls at his feet, taking vows, and he blesses. So, but then Dhruva Maharaj didn't stop there. He did his tapasya perfectly. Otherwise, if you have money, you don't know how to use it. You know this. Then you are the loser, unfortunate situation. But in that situation, we see Narada actually blessed Dhruva. And here, Prabhupada explains that this Sukriti may allow to come to a person to come to Krishna. But to become devotee of Krishna, we need blessings of another devotees, like Dhruva got from Narada Muni. Of course, it is also explained, once somebody approaches Krishna, by interacting with Krishna, his desires also get purified. Right? And one seeks the shelter of devotees again. From that point onwards. So, these four types of people come to Krishna to take shelter because they have Sukriti. I also explained that Sukriti has to be some devotional activities. There Prasad Prabhupada says we should distribute prasad. People may come like, I think our Ballam Shakti Prabhu was telling in Wada, that his father came to our G.V. Govardhanika village. And devotees are very happy and very friendly with him. They spoke to him very nicely. He was impressed by that because of their behavior. And he was so impressed, he said, these devotees are so nice. When devotee, he is speaking the word devotee or whatever, but he doesn't know what devotee exactly is. I mean, he is from different, upbringing or whatever. But he was saying, because he said these devotees are very nice, he did a Sukriti. Then he was eating prasad. He didn't know it is prasad. He just appreciating the taste and the food and everything. It's great, great. Every breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever he ate, he said, is simply great. So then, there is Sukriti. So Srila Prabhupada has created a whole ISKCON, you know, worldwide organization where people come and simply appreciate. But if we don't do it properly, people may come and they may also speak negative. If they speak negative also, of course, I don't know what will happen to them. But this is our responsibility, it is our responsibility to present to the world in such a way people come and appreciate and gain Sukritis. So, Uttara, she was crying, she was helpless. But the best part of that is that she had the ability to cry out to Krishna in calamities. So, what stops us from crying out to Krishna is basically our ego. Because we think we can manage. Why to go to Krishna? Sometimes we say, why to trouble Krishna? Let's just manage ourselves. What's the big deal? Isme kaun si badi baat hai? Controlling senses, what's the big deal? Controlling mind, what's the big deal? We may think like that, but it's not easy. So, feeling helpless is one, which is a fact. It's very difficult to do things in this world unless you get strength. Strength has to come from somewhere. Because all of us know, throughout our life, some success, some failure, whatever it is. But whenever we experience success, we know that the strength has come from somewhere else. If we just honestly analyze, isn't it? The strength comes from somewhere else. It is not from within. It comes from somewhere and we just progress. But that particular period of time, we get empowered. We can feel it. Things going smooth, great, and everything is, you know, just happening, and everything is, you are able to grasp, you are able to feel, see, understand, you have the vision, and you make it. Then when you look back, then you understand actually it is some kind of power that has come from elsewhere. It is not something that is, if it were from within, then it would have manifested any time you like, na? What's the big deal? If it is therein, and just start it, push the button. Doesn't happen like that. So even in material success we know, things comes from without. So, feeling helplessness in this huge creation, like insignificant people we are, those tiny people, that helplessness actually allows one to cry out to Krishna. So unless we are helpless, we can't cry out. If we have ego, we can't cry out. We can think, okay, I'll manage. But that ego is false. It doesn't help actually. It may help temporarily for some time, but then the problem is still sitting right on our head, heavy. So therefore, this particular quality in Uttara is something that we have to meditate on. She cried out. And then Krishna immediately takes control of the situation. These pastimes are wonderful actually. Probably he knew that this guy is going to come back again. You know, he allowed him to leave. He also said, okay, don't kill him. Brahmana, son of Brahmana, don't kill. He pacified Draupadi as well as Bhima, both. Krishna like took that neutral stance. And he knew that Draupadi's words are going to be addressed better than Bhima's words. And also he might have knew that he is going to react again. And he did. And again he protected. So I was wondering, it is explained that Ashwatthama is still living. And he was still living at that time, point of time. Then Krishna would, after this Krishna is actually living. So one may think, this guy can do it again. Isn't it? Krishna is no more there. But probably by that time he was convinced that he can't kill them. So he might have retired. Anyway. So Krishna, with his Sudarshan Chakra, now he actually took Sudarshan Chakra. While defending Arjuna from Bhishma's wrath, he did not took that Sudarshan Chakra. Somebody was explaining me that when devotees surrender to Krishna, Krishna loves him so much that he can do anything. He breaks his vows also. That is something very insulting, but he does it. So in case of Arjuna, when it was happening, like he was about to be destroyed, then Krishna became so annoyed in that madness of love. He was so worried, so annoyed, he just started charging at Bhishma and he forgot to invoke Sudarshan Chakra. In that intense of feelings, just forget it. He just jump out of the cart, forget Sudarshan Chakra. And just, you know, in a helpless, like a helpless warrior, he picked up a broken chariot wheel. That is also interesting. So Arjuna is trying to stop him. He said, "Nay, Abhimad," you know, he's just going, I'm going to hit him. And he was running towards Bhishma. Then they said, why is he running? He could throw from that spot itself. Why is he running towards him? He's so powerful. He could have just hit him. He doesn't have to throw like this. He can throw like this also. You know. When the ladies play, they throw like this. You know. When gents play, they throw like this. So he's powerful, masculine. He could have just threw it. But then, the acharya explained, he didn't want to miss the target at all. No chance. He went right up to him, and within a few distance tried to hit him, so that the target actually hurt. And then by that time Bhishma was shooting many arrows, and the bloods were coming out, and he was like releasing that beautiful, you know, virya form of Krishna. So that was Bhishma. But in this case, Krishna actually took Sudarshan Chakra. And while protecting these five Pandavas, he also manifested another form within the womb of Uttara to protect Parikshit Maharaj. He's the son of Abhimanyu, Parikshit Maharaj. So again, it is explained that he was there in a super soul, even within the heart of Parikshit Maharaj is there, and he is there everywhere. He could have just protected him right there. Why he had to manifest another form? Again, that shows, because Uttara cried out so helplessly, just Krishna manifested that form. Just like Narasingadev appeared for Prahlad Maharaj, very unique form, just for Prahlad Maharaj. But then many were able to witness that form, like Brahma, Shiva, Lakshmi, Hiranyakashipu. All these personalities actually saw this beautiful form of Narasingadev. But for Parikshit Maharaj, Krishna manifested a form which only was witnessed by Parikshit Maharaj only. Nobody else saw that form. Only he had the privilege because of his mother. His mother's blessing, he was able to see a beautiful form of Krishna right in the womb, who protected him from this fiery weapon. Of course, later when he came out, he was trying to search that form. He was pulling everybody's dhotis. Who's this? Like, therefore his name became Parikshit. Because that was such an attractive form, he couldn't forget. So, in the calamities, to approach Krishna is one thing, but to then cry out helplessly, or helplessly cry out, helplessness comes first, then crying out is second, is the most important aspect of spiritual progress. So therefore, the calamities in this world are natural, they will keep coming. Nobody can avoid it. When Krishna actually leaves, then Kunti Maharani starts praying, offering very beautiful prayers. She's praying very beautiful prayers to Krishna, requesting, very honestly, requesting, or what you can use. Request is a very mild word. She's actually strongly seeking that he should not leave now. Especially after seeing this attack of Ashwatthama. She said, okay, we have created many enemies in the process of the war. Please don't leave now. This is the most dangerous situation. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also requests, so Krishna stays back for a few more days. It is explained like that, right? So in those verses, another verse that describes this calamities is Pipada Santu Tat Saswat Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Bhavato Darshanam Syad Apunar Bhava Darshanam. So this is something like pick up that prayers. Because she is so desperately seeking Krishna that she doesn't mind calamities at all. And this is something very interesting. This is something very difficult to understand and grasp. Normally we seek each other's shelter so that our calamities goes away. You know, in this world, relationship is based on, our relationships are all based on that calamity should reduce. Isn't it? We have friendship. Why? Because mera kuch problem hoga to help karega. Studying together, okay, something he understands, I don't understand, he can help me. Exchange notes. Or in work, we have partners so that we can help each other grow. Somebody is a manager, somebody is a programmer, somebody is a marketing. Relationships, so that problem reduces, profit grows. That's how the world is. But here she is saying, it doesn't matter if calamities are there. You know, very strange. And she says, Bipada Santu Tah Saswat. Now this Saswat word is eternal, actually, in one sense. I don't know. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar, but I was just relating. Saswat means again, Prabhupada says. Again and again means basically eternal. Again and again doesn't end, no? That is infinity basically. That's how we make mathematics, you know, series are there. That's how it is, eternal. Is a science student laughing. Saswat means eternal. Let the calamities be there forever. We don't mind, but we want you. So this is the kind of prayers he is offering, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru. doesn't matter what is the situation, what is the place, for how long, doesn't matter. Why is it so? Then she gives a very, what is the profit one will get if he does that? One may say this is disastrous. What kind of prayer is this? This is the most disastrous prayer one can ever think of. Then she says, Bhavato darsanasyad. Bhavato means you, oh beautiful Krishna. Another thing that in these prayers come is Kunti Maharani calls Krishna to be Madhupate, my sweet lord. I think Maharaj translate like that in Journey Home. My sweet lord. There is a song also by Jal Harishan, my sweet lord. Very popular. We'll just divert a little bit. George Harrison. After he left his body, he was in a very Krishna conscious way, he left. Prabhupada offered his, Prabhupada remembered him while he was leaving his body. Now, if you remember someone at the time of your death, that means you really love that person most. So George Harrison, although was not a disciple in any, you know, in the sense of rules and regulations, or institutional laws, you can say like that. But he did a lot of service to Prabhupada. He did with all love and affection and sacrifices he did. And Prabhupada of course remembers that and he gives his ring. So, after he leaves his body, there was a concert in, I think it was in LA. Probably LA or New York somewhere. There is concert to glorify George Harrison and his songs. And many of the songs that he sung, he wrote in line with philosophy of Srila Prabhupada, like all things must pass, pass, my sweet lord. Many songs are there. While my guitar gently weeps. That's a song about purification of heart. Anyway, I don't recommend. I mean, if you like, you can hear. But this my sweet lord ends with Hare Krishna chant, and I happened to saw that video where this ceremony was there, and I was amazed to see all Americans, because George's concert means all Americans, black, white, all, and they are all standing and chanting Hare Krishna. The whole stadium is full with people. They are chanting Hare Krishna just because he did it. And he did it with heart. Otherwise you can't inspire people just singing anything, you know. You have to do it to the audience. It was directed to the audience. And I was thinking it's amazing. Anyway, so my sweet lord. So, I think, I don't know from whom I heard it. But it's interesting because Kunti Maharani is in the middle of problems and so many calamities happened. And at that point of time, well, sometimes some problem comes, we come and stand in front of Gopinath, and to appreciate beauty at that time is very difficult, isn't it? Sometimes we may think that he is angry on us. No? But here she is experiencing so many miseries, but she is still seeing Krishna as very sweet. That is something amazing. Because I think it was Gaurang Prabhu who was telling us, Krishna had all the abilities or capacities to avert any situation. He can just change it if he likes. He's God, Supreme God. Actually, he has all the capacities. If he wanted, he could have easily averted the entire war and put Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king without any killing also. He could do that. Whatever he would. So many things happened. Even the Draupadi, she lost her children. All these things happened. So when you lose so much of your, you know, people and so much of calamities, and you know somebody next to you can actually could have helped but didn't help, then you feel irritated towards that person. You feel irritation. What kind of man is this? He have abilities. He could do it. But he didn't do it. So he is a bekar admi. Or you just can't relate. You just keep yourself away from that person. Irritation, basically. You get irritated with such kind of people. But here, it's not like that. She is saying Madhupati, my sweet lord. And he's saying Bhavato means because you are here. Bhavato darsana shyat. If one has darsan of your Krishna in the time of calamities, then apunar bhava darsanam. Bhava darsanam means, bhava means this world, which is full of miseries. Now miseries nobody can avoid. It is there. So apunar bhava darsanam means there is no more darsan of this material world. So that is the reward. So the lesson that we learn from this is that calamities we can't avoid. But in calamities, if you take shelter of Krishna, we'll make spiritual progress. And in that spiritual progress, gradually we'll overcome. We'll totally wind up this from this place. And one gets. So then there is a verse in 10th canto, Mamaji prayers, Tenu Kampam Susimakshamano Punjana Evatma Krutam Vipaksham. Hrudvaga Papu Vir Vidudhana Namaste Jiveta Yomukti Padasya Dayavak. So this is the Brahmaji's prayers. That Tattenu Kampa Susimakshamano. Whatever miseries comes, one should understand it is because of fruitive activities, result of fruitive activities. Something we have done, as a result, we are getting the reactions in various ways by the nature. But then one should tolerate these miseries and look forward for the mercy of Krishna while tolerating all these miseries. Tattanukampa. Look, that anukampa, we should look forward to Krishna's anukampa. How we'll do that? Hrudvaga vapurvi vidudhana namaste. No matter what happens with one's heart, with one's word, with one's body, one should pay obeisances to Krishna. Namaste. All aspects of our body should be offered to Krishna in the different ways. Like our tongue can be used to glorify Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Our buffo body can be utilized in Krishna's service. And we can pay obeisances, namaste. So jibetayo, in this way one who lives, tolerating calamities, he has a right to mukti dayavak, liberation and devotion. Mukti pada, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur Pada explains, mukti means liberation from calamities of this world, and pada means actually, pada means the position, pada also means lotus feet of Krishna, I mean devotional service. So two things he gets, not just mukti, because he is rendering service to Krishna and devotees. Hrudvaga vapurvi vidudhana namaste. Unto you, Krishna, they are offering these things. So they get mukti, one fold, second fold is a devotional service to Krishna. And this, they have the right to do. Like that. Hare Krishna, I went over time. I thought I couldn't finish it. I thought I'll finish by 9 o'clock. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaur Premanande.